Hi, it's Brandy Taylor. Welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. It's not just lipstick, it's business. We will share thought-provoking conversations with business and beauty professionals. Our goal is to empower, motivate, and inspire you to take your business to the next level. This episode is sponsored by StyleSeed. Join StyleSeed today, trusted by top professionals and adorned by clients. Hey, hey, it's a new day, a new week, and a new episode of the Business Beauty Network podcast. Welcome, welcome. I am super, super excited to bring a new episode to you today. But before we get into that, make sure that you hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening. It's totally free, so don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an upload. And sharing is caring, so if you know someone who would benefit from this awesome content, share it out. I want to hear from you. Connect with me on Instagram at @IamBrandyTaylor. Let me know how you're loving this content. Share your favorite episode with me in the stories. I want to connect with you there. You can also connect with Business Beauty Network on Facebook and Instagram. Our website is businessbeautynetwork.com, and you can email us at hello@businessbeautynetwork.com. Now that all of that is out of the way, I have an awesome guest in store for you today. I had a great conversation with Sane Williams of Sane & Co. Sane is an email marketing specialist, and I really had a great time just learning more about what she does. She's also a cosmetologist as well, and so she has a beauty background, but now she's serving entrepreneurs with their email marketing, and you know that's one of my favorite subjects to talk about, right? And if you don't know, you know now. But I really enjoyed chatting up with her. It was like a girlfriend's conversation. She dropped some gems about Pinterest too. I think you're really going to enjoy this. She also left a freebie, so make sure you check the show notes, and I'll have all of her information and how you can get the freebie and everything in the show notes. But here is Sane's bio. Sane is a dope email marketing girlfriend hailing from Detroit, Michigan. Sane is dedicated to empowering women business owners to stay consistent with their marketing efforts by elevating their email marketing game. Her done-for-you service gives CEOs time to focus on the things that give them life. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, and here it goes. Hey, hey, welcome to the podcast. It is your host, Brandy Taylor, and we have an awesome guest today, Sane Williams. Welcome, Sane.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, I am super excited to have you on today, but before we learn more about you and all the awesome things you're doing with your business, tell us something about yourself that most people would not know.
I'm an only child.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Now, how was that? Do you feel like your parents are, you know, usually they say with only children, it's like terrible because...
I think those stereotypes are so wrong. I don't think I fit the stereotype of an only child. I think people used to, when they hear that, they like, they go so crazy. People just say that they want to be friends with only children. I'm like, why? Because they just assume you're like spoiled and all of that jazz. But I honestly think my parents would probably like to spoil me more. But I'm one of those people like, I got this. So no.
Okay. Well, that's a fun fact. Thanks for sharing that, Sane. So I know you have, you're a marketing expert in email marketing, but you also have a beauty background. So tell us a little bit about your beauty story.
So beauty is my first love. It is. Ever since I was a little girl, that's all I wanted to do was to be a hairstylist. I'm from Detroit. And so I went to Crockett and everything because I was like, I'm about to be a hairstylist. But I ended up leaving that school and I went to a different high school. And I didn't let the dream die. Once I graduated from college, I actually went to cosmetology school. I'm licensed. I worked in some corporate hair salons. It just really wasn't my vibe. I tried to work out of my apartment. And I did that for a while. But that was difficult because it's like, one, you don't want people really come to your house. And then two, I didn't know how to market. Like, I could not. Like, that's like social media. Like, my friend, she was a hairstylist. And she's like, just go on social media. I'm like, I don't even get this. Like, I don't even get how to do it. So it was like one of those ironic things that I would end up in marketing. Because that's where I failed at when it came to trying to do hair. And I was just like, I gave up because I was just like, it was too hard to figure that part out for me.
That's interesting. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, period, find it hard to market. Like, I think sometimes, I think it's because people really don't understand what marketing is. And I think when they understand what it is, then, you know, they kind of understand it's a huge part of business and how you attract new clients and things of that nature. Because like you said, because you weren't able to market yourself properly, you know, maybe you wasn't able to build, so you ended up leaving, right?
Right. And I think the biggest part of that that I didn't know then what I know now is how long it actually takes for you to gain traffic. I think you go into it, you put yourself out there, and you're expecting like these big results pretty fast. And it doesn't work like that. It takes a while. It can take a while. Like, I was even running ads and things like that. So that's actually where I got my first like ad experience, was back then. And that worked. And I got some customers, but I didn't understand the longevity of the process.
Let's talk about that, because I always say consistency is key. But for example, I was talking to one of my clients just yesterday, and she's running an ad. And I guess, if I remember correctly, I think like the ad was viewed 2,000 times. And I think the ad has only been running 1 week. So the ad was viewed 2,000 times, and she had like 180 something clicks. So in her mind, the ad was doing terrible because she hadn't had any bookings yet. And in my mind, I didn't think the ad was doing terrible because 2,000 people saw it, almost 200 people clicked it. So now we just kind of need to figure out what's happening in that process, what's making them not, you know, book through or whatever you're trying to get them to do. And it could be that they don't know you, right? It could be that they're just researching or they're just curious, but you did attract the eye though with the ad, right? And they're saying now, they used to say in marketing it takes like 7 times, but they're saying it's like triple that now for a client to see you, to become familiar with your brand. So a week of running an ad and not necessarily getting a client, it doesn't mean the ad isn't working. Because if you're just now running ads, people are not familiar with you and your brand, and people buy from who they know, like, and trust. So you got to kind of run ads consistently. And then if you find that an ad is consistently not performing, like say, for example, if you find that people are clicking and they're not buying or whatever, then that's another thing you need to look at. Maybe you need to look at the website, look at the link, look at like, can you change some things there, and then start playing with those things.
I think where they miss out at a lot of time is you don't have your email marketing in place, because that's actually what that does. That's actually where a lot of people mess up at. I think that when you run ads, yes, she did get results, she did get eyes. So it was visually appealing to people, and they were clicking in. They wanted to know more information. I think that is one of the biggest problems, I think, even with organic traffic. People, they start with social media and they think that that's enough for marketing. And it's not. That's just the tip of the iceberg. You have to have more things in place in order to actually convert people. Like you said, I definitely think it's way more than the seven touches now. It seems like people have to touch a brand a whole lot of times. And that's where email marketing comes into place, and people don't have that set up. Because when people actually sign up for your email list, that's where they actually learn more about your business. That's where they learn more about you. That's when they learn, oh yeah, this is a person who I actually would like to work with. Like, that's what that whole process is. I think it's the process that people have to reevaluate. It's the customer journey. That's what she will need to reevaluate with her ad, is what is my customer journey and where are all the touch points after they click this ad? What are the touch points after this ad? And that's something that most people aren't looking into, because you just want to make money. You're like, I need these consultations. That's all I'm worried about. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. You know, oftentimes I find that people will start to think about investing in marketing when things are like not going well. You know what I mean? In their business. Like, when things are not going well, they're like, oh my God, I got to market. I got to do something. And at that time, they're expecting like instant results. you know, they want it tomorrow. Like they want, like, you know, a full mm-hmm. book of clients tomorrow. And if you can't deliver that, it's like, well, marketing doesn't work.
Yeah, you're behind the game. If you start to market your business when you need customers, then you're already behind. The most successful companies, they market all the time. They're always, and they also not only market, but they also have a sales pipeline in place too. I think we can't, that's why marketing and sales are always connected, because they kind of go hand in hand together. They're not the same thing, but they do go hand in hand. And so the most successful companies, that's what they have. You're going to market consistently, and then you're also going to have that sales pipeline in place. And I think that if you're expecting to see results from any type of marketing, your ad or whatever, it's not going to happen. Like, in, we have to think about it. The business world is growing, and it's growing digitally. So there are so many more businesses that are utilizing digital marketing. Like, we all are now. Like, you have to now. That wasn't necessarily the thing before. But now, since there's so many people, you have to think about it. The marketplace is overcrowded with all the business across all the industries. And we're all, you know, using those same type of marketing tools. So no, you can't expect to book out your services today because you put some money behind an ad. It doesn't work
exactly.
Like that.
It does not work like that, girl. Right. It does not. And I just wanted to clear that up because I think sometimes that's how people feel. And it's one of my goals is to help our community see the importance of that. The importance of promoting your brand, consistently putting yourself out there, consistently showing up and marketing your business. And email marketing is something that I have really been pushing lately. And so I want to kind of tell you some things that I've been hearing as I've been talking to people about email marketing and, you know, telling them that they need to do this more. I taught a class and I got a lot of questions about, well, what if they unsubscribe? Like, people are worried, like, I don't want to email them. What if they unsubscribe? If I start emailing my clients, I don't want to, you know, bother them. What do you think about that?
So there's a lot with that. So unsubscribes, like, if you want to go bye. Well, you know, like, you don't have to be over here. Also, I think that sometimes we associate email subscribers and customers as the same thing, and they're not necessarily the same thing. Someone who's your customer, they may not want to be on your email list. That's why you ask them, do you want to be on my email list? Yes, if you get their email addresses, yes, you can add them to your email list. Technically, you can, but it's so important to ask people, do you really want to be on my email list? Because they may not want to be. If they're already your customer and they're consistent, especially, like, why do they need your emails? Like, they probably don't. So if they unsubscribe, like, it's no hurt feelings. And if this is maybe potential customers, even people who are not your customers, and they unsubscribe, no hard feelings, you don't want to be over here, it's okay. Because getting them off of your list is better for your engagement. It's better for you to actually end up in the inbox. If people who are not opening your emails, who are not clicking your emails, people who are not responding to the emails, you want those people off your list anyway, because they're not serving a purpose other than having, like, a large number. This is like going back to followers. Followers don't matter if they're not your customers. That large number doesn't help if, you know, you have 20,000 followers and nobody is commenting or liking your stuff. It's the same thing with email subscribers. Like, your open rate's going to be low, your click rate's going to be low, and that stuff impacts how you end up in the inbox or if you end up in the spam box, because Gmail, Yahoo, all of them, they're actually reading that information. So it's so, like, if they want to leave, let them go. Don't be worried about it. Only time you want to worry about is now if your whole list goes away, we got a problem. Okay.
Right,
it's like
right.
A significant number, we have a problem.
No, it's very unlikely. But like, right. Yeah, and if your whole list goes, that, your whole list goes away, I don't know what you don't send your clients, you know?
Right, what did you
because,
say?
Because at the end of the day, if you are a service provider and you have regular people that you service, you know, maybe twice a month, once a month, however often you see your clients, you know, you provide their beauty services. They spend a certain amount of time with you on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they don't mind hearing from you, right? You're their stylist. You're their nail tech. You're, you know, you do their lashes, right? Oftentimes, they don't mind hearing from you. So maybe that those one or two people, don't let one or two unsubscribes cause you to feel like email marketing doesn't work or you're bothering everybody. because
it's a bad day too. Like, right. Some people just be like, I don't want this today. And they'd be like, I ain't got no emails from you. Like, girl, because you
gotta write. Yep. I think about that. So, I mean, it could be like a bad day, like you said. You never know.
Too much.
So, but don't allow that to stop you from emailing your clients. And I want to really talk about that too when it comes to staying connected and staying top of mind with your clients. Tell us like some ways we can use email to stay connected, stay top of mind, and how often should we be staying connected? I think that's the frequency gets people too.
Frequency is, that's determined by your list. This is something that you have to study. This is something that you have to understand about them. This is something that will take time and practice, because you can send too many emails and you start to get a lot of unsubscribes. And that's a big indicator. When you increase how many emails you've been sending, you get a lot of unsubscribes. That's a great indicator. Like, okay, you're doing too much. But for me, I love one email weekly, especially if your list can support it. I think sometimes people want to do multiple emails a week, but can your list support it? Like, and what I mean by if your list can support it is if it's actually growing consistently, because that's important. And if you have like a certain number of subscribers, if you're still under 1,000 subscribers, you shouldn't really send your list too many emails. Your list isn't large enough for that. The larger your list, the more emails you can send, because then you can start to segment. And then when you get into segmentation, that's really learning the interest of people who are on your list, and you're starting to send them different kind of emails to different subscribers at different times. And that's really important. That's how you get really great engagement. So that's one. I would stick to one email weekly. But the most important thing is actually consistency. So like, don't introduce a vibe to your list that you're not going to stick with. So if you're like, I'm about to email everybody once a week, and then you fall off, like that takes away from the experience of your customers. And then also they start to expect it. I love when I get clients, I usually get them on a schedule. We usually send their emails like the same day, probably the same time. And what happens is people start to get used to that. They get used to that rhythm. And then when we're not in their inbox, they're like, what's going on? And that's a good thing that they start to miss us. Also, we do, you know, you want to switch it up sometimes too, like send a different day, different time, see what happens, which is also a great testing technique. But I think you have to know your list. But if you can't do once weekly, then do once a month. Like, that's the thing. You can do more content, maybe one monthly email. That's also important too, is what are you actually sending them? And is it something that they actually want? Because I think that we get so caught up on consistency too. It is important, but don't just send out anything. Like, would you really want this? Like, that's kind of how I look at stuff. Like, would I really want this information? What is this actually providing to me? Is this of importance, or could I just keep this in my drafts? I think that's important. Like, what kind of content are you sending to them? Are you educating them on something that they're actually interested in? Though all of those things play into your sitting cadence. What else did you ask me?
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of type of emails should you be sending? Like, so if you're doing an email every week, and maybe you're a stylist, right? Give us some examples of 4 emails for the month, for a whole month, like the month of April. What could we send out for April?
Imagine a world where your beauty business grows effortlessly while enjoying more personal time. Introducing StyleSeed, the ultimate salon management platform designed just for you. Building your beauty business empire has never been smoother. StyleSeed handles the nitty-gritty details like booking management and building powerful business tools so that you can focus on what you do the best. Try StyleSeed today and enjoy $30 off your first month of the premium plan. You can find the link and all the details in the show notes. Hey everyone, it's Brandy. I hope you're enjoying this podcast as much as I absolutely enjoy bringing this awesome content to you. Look, beauty professionals, this show is for you. And I want to make sure we can continue to bring our awesome guests and awesome information to help empower the beauty community all over the world.
You can help by doing your part in making a small donation. You can check our link in the show notes and donate right on Anchor, or we'll have another link available for you to do so. Thank you so much for supporting. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and you're sharing it as well. As always, stay great.
So usually when it comes to content planning for me, I always start with I go through a few social media calendars. And when I mean social media calendars, the calendars tell you the social media holidays, because that's one way to get some ideas of what's going on in the month and what can I play on with this. And you do want to do a variety of content. It's also going to be, what do you offer as a stylist? I think also plays. If you're just a regular stylist and you don't offer products or any type of upsells, it's going to be a little bit harder for you to come up with different kind of content. But you can make it interesting, like April showers, like tell people how to protect their hair in the month of April. You could showcase what's your favorite, I know they have some cute little umbrellas or something like that, like the cute little things that you place over your head. You showcase the cute items that you love, these are my favorite things off of Amazon to protect your hair from the rain. You could do stuff like that. That's an email. They'll be like, oh, I love this. If you sell products, which I think that all stylists should, you could upsell the product. You could highlight certain products. This is my main product and we use this on everybody's hair. You can order this down. That's a way for you to make extra money and also teach them something about the product. And you can even follow up. That would be another email, is to follow up. So introduce the product, and then maybe the next week you give them the benefits of the product and also ask them to buy the product again. So things like that that you could do. Also, always, it's time to book an appointment. I have spots available. Don't be afraid to tell them you got spots available.
You always see that on social media. They'll post it there, but you know the algorithm. You don't know how many actual clients are going to see it, right? Yes. Email it to them. That way you know it hit their email box.
And also, I'm going to go ahead and give y'all this right here. Use SMS too. Email and SMS goes together. So send in an email, send in a text, and see where your audience responds best to. But it's also good to do both, because that also gives you a way to do maybe two different types of messaging in the week. So you can maybe send an email and then send a text as well. Things like that. So help. I'm not talking about your text messages that I'd be seeing these screenshots of. That'd be crazy. I'm talking about an actual marketing message.
Yeah.
No, you cannot come to your appointment. I'm not giving you a refund. Not that type of text message.
None of that.
Right. Come on in. Be nice to your customers.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think sometimes, I think some of them will text. And I think text is something more and more stylists are using. But the email people really sleep on. But I don't get a lot of texts either when it comes to using either email marketing or SMM to stay connected with your client. And I think that's all you're doing, because if you don't ever email them, say they come get their hair done and you never stay connected, they may find somebody else or something else may happen, or you never know, they may forget about you or whatever it may be. So you want to stay top of mind. And
I always think of think of Fashion Nova. They're always used because they're always in your inbox. They're always in your text messaging. They're in both. They're staying top of mind.
Right.
You probably are on the list. You probably get the text. You probably get the emails. Think what the big businesses are doing, and do that for your business.
Yeah, we got to make sure we're staying connected. We got to do that. We got to stay connected. It's not just about getting them in there. It's about keeping them coming back. But that's another thing with the customer service piece too. I want to talk to you about that, because I know you're in the industry, right? And I feel as much as we help them market and attract clients and all of those things, how do they keep them? How do we bring the service back, into the whole situation?
The customer service.
Right.
I mean, people have to be nice. I think being kind goes a long way. Treating people how you want to be treated, it's great to be authentic. It's great to be yourself. But just also remember, like, you do need this customer. I know we'd be like so fast to say, I don't need you. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So be nice to people. Be kind to people. Just treat them with respect. People want to, they just want to be talked to nicely. They want you to give them that old school service, like bring back shampoo and hair, like bring back those little bitty things. Like, there's just so many little things that you could do. Like, think of like a Lyft or an Uber. When you get into those rides, what makes you go, oh, this is a nice Lyft? Oh, they got mints. They got a phone charger. You know, it's a nice ride. Like, when you get into those type of environments, you're like, oh, this is nice. How about you bring those type of things back into your suite, back into your salon? I just, little things. I think we got to get back to, I think we are in a new generation, but we need some of that old school back. You know, like, people used to love going to their hairstylist, like, because it was like, that was their therapeutic moments. It's always good vibes. It's always good energy. Like, I think that that's what a stylist has to take on these days, is you got to be good energy all the time, good vibes. You can't just keep doing this. Every time I see them screenshots in the shade room where somebody is like telling them no refunds, that bothers me, because it's like, what are we doing? And you're making the whole industry look bad. And then when you read through the comments across the board say the same thing. And it's just like, we got to go back to actually realizing that we are beauty professionals. Like, we are actual professionals. Like, this is our business. And I think that so many times we get started young. So we may not have had like an actual customer service job, or if we had a customer service job, I mean, customer service can be rough, you know, it can be rough, but I think that sometimes we take on that negative attitude that I no longer have to have customer service skills. And I don't think that that's true. I think that you have to be able to talk to people a certain way. I think that, yes, you have policies. No, people don't always read. No, they're not reading all the fine print in your QD scheduler. Yes, they may have questions. And it's okay that people reach out to you and ask questions that may be in the QD. Maybe they didn't see it. They didn't read it. They didn't understand what you wrote there. It's okay for them to reach out to you and ask questions. And you should be open to answering those questions. And now it's, y'all need to read. Don't DM me. Don't text me. Don't act like, we got to get rid of that mindset. Like, y'all really, like, that's why, and it's like, if you want customers, then you got to, you know, be kind.
And some people just need some extra help. And some people you might have to do that with. And that's not every customer, but don't belittle people. I think that's what it is. No DMing me, no this. And I saw a lady, she must have had like a lot of cancellations. And she was like, from now on, like, she was making a public service announcement in all caps, and she was going through what was her policy changes, and she must have been upset or whatever, but that was very unprofessional. We have to remember that we're running a business, right? And we have to get back to taking care of our clients. I've always been like, take care of who takes care of you. And if you have clients who are consistently coming to you and patronizing your services, you want to take care of them. You want to treat them with respect. How would you want to be treated when you go into an atmosphere? You want to treat your client that same way. And I think we need to make sure that we remember that and be careful of something that, yeah, we know people don't read. And sometimes it might get on your nerves a little bit. And it's gotten on my nerves, even with my coaching clients sometimes. But I'm accommodating. I'll send them what they need. They should have got the link in the email, but I'll send it to her. You know, like, whatever it takes. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not going to dog her out or go online and bash her because she didn't
go on my stories.
Right.
This long story where y'all cussing y'all out in my story. Like, stop doing that kind of stuff. Like, you are a business. And I think maybe if we would change the mindset around that you are an actual business. I don't think that you may not even see yourself as a business. You just may see yourself as a hairstylist and you make it some money, but change your whole mindset. You are a real business. You are a professional, and you gotta act accordingly.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, the podcast is all about. You know, that's why business is first, because I wanted to put the business back in beauty. So it's where business meets beauty, because we need to bring those two together. Like, we got the skills. We got the talent. We know you bad at what you do in this industry. But we got to remember that we're running businesses. And we want to treat people in a way that's going to make them come back to us consistently. Exactly. A lot of people, I've been seeing it among seasoned people that have been in this industry 10 years plus. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, sometimes there's hesitation to change. You know, so there's hesitation to change. So some people still don't have booking apps, right? They still don't have a website. They still don't have, they're still taking phone calls and things like that. So let alone email, you know, and all of these things. So how do you feel about that this day and age?
I think if that's still working for them, because I feel like some of them, they're still making money like that. So if it's working for you, yay, do it. But I do think that you have to start to pivot with technology, because it's not doing anything but evolving. And so adding those pieces into your business may just help you grow more and help you get a different type of client set too. Because I've seen that too, with like people who have been in the industry for a long time, but they are still attracting maybe the same kind of client. That's not what they want anymore. When you start to leverage technology in your business, I think that it helps you get it helps you reach more people. And reach them where they are, because email marketing is on your phone. The majority of people are looking at this on their phones. People wake up, they look at their phones, and they actually go to their emails. So it's like you're reaching them where they are. And that's the whole purpose, is reaching people at the right time with email marketing. So I think that it's an easy way, especially if you do it yourself. It's low cost. It doesn't cost that much to get started with email marketing. Like, it's probably one of the cheaper things that you can do in your business if you're going to do it yourself. So yeah, I do think having a website, because we're in the digital age. The first thing people do, if you recommend somebody to me, I'm gonna go look at their Instagram, and I'm gonna see if they have a website, and then I'm gonna go look at their website, because I want to see pictures, I want to see reviews, I want to see how they're talking, I want to see, you know, just like, where are they located, what's their environment going to look like, am I going to be comfortable with this person? So having those little pieces in place helps me know if I actually want to come to you.
Right. And I like what you said at the beginning about, like, some people have been stuck servicing that same type of client, and maybe you want to reach a different audience. Marketing is the best way to do it. So you got to get out there. You have to get online. So that will require you to get a website, require you to promote and show up in that way. And but some people are just completely like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. I'm just the artist. And that's it. And that's where, like, people like us come in, who actually help people with done-for-you type of services when they don't want to do it. So let's talk about some of the services that you offer, Sonae, and how you help your clients.
So I pretty much offer a done-for-you service. We offer email marketing. We also offer Pinterest marketing. And let me tell you something. You beauty experts are sleeping on Pinterest. Y'all need to get into that. It's a great place, especially if you have products. Oh my gosh, beauty is it's like number one on Pinterest. It's the number one search thing. And for most of us, like, when you are looking for inspiration, what are you doing? You're going on Pinterest searching for inspiration. So why not have people search your stuff for their inspiration? Like,
so you could sell your product there. So now you could sell, like, tell me how would you position that? So say, for instance, if you wanted to put your products on Pinterest, like, give us an example of how you could position that.
So Pinterest is an online shopping mall. It looks like social media, it acts like social media, but the algorithm and kind of really the features of it is more like Google. So that's why it's a search engine. People are searching for products, and I'm going to use nails. Yo, if you do nails, you sell press-ons, you sell nail polish, and you're not selling it on Pinterest, you're missing out on your client. Nails is like, every keyword I look up has nails in it. Spring nails is trending right now. You can look it up right now. It's trending. Listen, put your products over there. Just like you put your post on Instagram, you're going to do something very similar like that on on Pinterest. A lot of times people even just repost what they posted on social media, right over to the platform. And that's a great way to get started. It does take a little bit more, because you do need to use keywords over on Pinterest, and it does take some research to do that, but you can position your products. It needs something that's going to link. So you're going to actually be linking directly to the product. So it kind of takes out the middleman of go to the link in my bio, figure out the link, go to that. On Pinterest, they're clicking your nail product, going straight to the nail product. They're looking at it. If they want to buy it, they're going to buy it. And a lot of times that's what people are doing. 80% of people who go on there are looking to buy. So it's a search engine, but it's a shopping mall. Like, people want to shop. They're looking for ideas, and they are looking to buy products.
I've been sleeping on Pinterest. I'm going to have to look into this. You got to put me, you know, put me up on something, Sonay, because, yeah, I didn't realize, I used to use it years ago, but I kind of fell off using it. And I'll search on there for stuff, but I don't utilize it for anything. So, yeah, that's interesting. So you help with the Pinterest. So
where you go for inspiration. The first place you go for inspiration is Pinterest. Yeah. Well, what are you looking at? Our pins. That's pins that somebody has created for you to go to their website. That's exactly what you want. You want somebody to go to your website. So you're going to do the same thing. So, yeah.
So you have done for you services for that. Now, how does that work for the Pinterest?
So basically, all my services, I say done for you because my clients are so hands off. They are people who are, they are busy women. They don't have time. If they got to tell me all the details, they might as well do them themselves. And that's really how I feel. So that's why the service is like that. Like, if I got to tell you the details, I'm going to just do it. So I take it out of your hands. I run your Pinterest account. Most of my clients who are Pinterest clients, they never know how to operate the platform. They don't want to learn how to operate the platform. And that's okay. So I create the pins for them. I create the pin descriptions, boards, covers, keywords. I do the research behind it. I pin for them. We have packages where we pin like 5 times a week for people, or we pin every single day for people. We run Pinterest ads. Like, you talked about ads. Now, if you want to talk about some ads, Pinterest ads are way better than Meta ads and Google ads. I'm just telling y'all. Oh, and TikTok ads. Like, okay. Pinterest is the best ad platform if you really want to get discovered. Your ad spend goes further, and you're going to reach a lot of people, especially if you are going after women, because the majority of the users over there are women. So you already taking out half of the guesswork of trying to get in front of your target audience. The ads aren't actually crowded like they are on Meta. Like, your ads are going to do, they're going to perform better on Pinterest. When I'm trying to grow an email list, I'm going to spend my money on Pinterest before I spend my money on Meta. Just saying.
Okay. Yeah. We're gonna have to get together after podcast. I want to know some things.
It's a place that you want to be.
It's nothing. Heard much about it.
Walmart, Target, Macy's, Amazon, all the big stores. Where are they running ads at? They run them on Pinterest. Like, yo, like, you need to go to the places where the big brands are, because they know where the audience is, and it's over on Pinterest. It's like, it's so slept on, especially by Black women. I'm going to just tell y'all. Black businesses are sleeping on the platform, and you could really be, you know, you could really find your target customer. But anyway, so we were talking about my done-for-you services. So email and Pinterest. Yes, email too. I write copy. I design the emails. I set them up, and I schedule them out for you. We send you monthly analytic reports. You get to do a planning call with me every month. We get to talk about what you have going on in your business if you take the planning call. A lot of times, they don't even take the call. Sometimes they just email me. They're like, Sonay, can we promote this? Absolutely. They don't have to come up with the strategy. They don't have to worry about segmenting their list. They don't have to worry about optimizing the emails. And by optimizing, I mean, that's when we are sending out stuff and then we're testing it to see if this is actually going to perform well. And then even sometimes going back and re-changing things out of it so that it can perform better. So I'm doing all of that on the back end for them. They don't have to do any of that. All they have to do is let me know what they have going on. I love if you tell me, like, for the month of April, I have this going on. I can then plan out your email campaigns myself, and we do it. I love it if you have active social media accounts, because that helps us. We can piggyback off of your social media, because I love, because social media is the first place you should tell people things on social media first. I do think that you should go in that order. And so then when we send it to an email, that's giving you that, you know, we talked about more than 7 touch points, but that gives you that touch point again. So I love people who have active social media accounts, because we can take content from that and bring it into their emails. But yeah, that's the service. It's for busy women. That's for people.
So now, pretty sure, like, for those people, because I'm always talking to people who, just don't have the time or the capacity to learn something new with all the other things that they do. And so I think it's awesome that you offer a done-for-you type service. And I have your website, but scrolling, but for the people that are listening to the podcast, give them your information and how they can connect with you.
So you can reach me online at sonayandco.com, and my name is spelled sonayandco.com, and it's Sonay and Co everywhere. So you can find us on Facebook at Sonay and Co, Instagram Sonay and Co, Pinterest Sonay and Co, LinkedIn Sonay and Co. Like, we are out there, Sonay and Co everywhere.
Okay, girl, awesome. Well, Sonay, it's been awesome having you on the podcast. I want to ask you the last couple questions I like to ask people before we go. So first, tell us, what is the biggest lesson that you've learned on your entrepreneurial journey thus far?
Oh my gosh, the biggest lesson has definitely been, it's a whole person experience. I didn't realize everything that was wrong with me was going to surface back up when I became a business owner. And I had to work through everything, and I'm working through everything because it shows up and it impacts your business in every single way. So it's a whole person experience. It's not just making the income, making the legacy. It's literally like I had to change as a person. I had to become a whole person. I had to become a better woman. I had to actually learn who I was as a woman, like all over. It's been such a journey. It has been a journey.
Awesome. What would you say your favorite business tool is to use for your business?
Man, I guess the first thing that came to my mind is Canva.
Girl.
Canva is the tool. When I tell you, it is bae. Like, I use it for everything.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, Sonay, it's been so great having you on. Do you have anything else you want to share with us today before we go?
I don't. Thank you for having me.
And I want to apologize. Why is Sonay? I feel so bad, Sonay. I've been messing your name up all day, but Sonay, get it right, y'all. Sonay. Get Sonay right. I'm so sorry about that. And how do you stay motivated? Tell us that. Give us some motivation. Do you listen to us a certain podcast, a book? Like, how do you stay motivated?
Honestly, Jesus, I would have been gave up. But I pray so much. I'm like, we really still doing this? Why am I in this? Why do you want me to be a business owner? Why would you call me this? But really, it's Jesus. Because God's like, you have a purpose. And so I'm walking in my purpose, and it's Jesus.
Sonay Williams, everybody. As always, stay great, and we're out. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe. Check us out on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. I want to hear from you. Email me at info@businessbeautynetwork.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at I Am Brandy Taylor and Facebook at I Am Brandy Taylor. I want to connect with you, so let's stay connected. And remember that all things are possible if you only believe. Stay great.